Genesis chapter 25. Start from the verse 1.
Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. And Jokshan begat Sheba, and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Asherim, and Letushim, and Leumim. And the sons of Midian, Ephah, and Epher, and Hanok, and Abida, and Eldah. All these were the children of Keturah.
Okay, can you imagine? Here he's saying, then again Abraham took a wife, and her name, Philip is pronouncing Keturah, we pronounce Keturah. But anyhow, this lady might be a young girl. Now, why Abraham got married to this girl, sometimes people wonder. If you remember, Sarah died when she was 127 years old. That time, Abraham may be 137 years old. He did not get married until Isaac got married. And Isaac got married when Isaac was 40 years old. And I believe Isaac and Sarah, they were very close. And when Sarah died, Isaac started feeling lonely. That's why his father arranged the marriage. And last Sunday we learned how he got married. When Sarah died, maybe Isaac was clinging to his father, giving him emotional support and trying to keep him happy. But when Isaac got married, now Abraham feels lonely. And so I don't think Abraham even thought, if I get married, I'm going to have some more children. Because he was happy with Ishmael. When Ishmael was born and God said, I'm going to give another son, he said, no, I'm happy with Ishmael. But when Isaac was born, now Isaac is 40 years old, Isaac got married. Ishmael already left when he was young. So he is lonely. So he got married. And as soon as he got married, he got almost 6 children from that lady. He never thought that he will have child after child after child. 6 children. And out of those 6 children, he got almost 11 grandchildren. And Ishmael got married and he got 12 children. You can imagine, Abraham got a big family. 12 grandchildren from Ishmael, 11 grandchildren from Keturah, and now he has a big family. But what he did, we are going to read, let's read verse 5.
And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the east country.
See, Abraham did a smart thing. Ishmael was sent away. Now Keturah's children, they were born and they were sent away. He says when he was alive, he only gave gifts to all his concubines' children and sent away. Sent away so far away in the east, and he was still alive. So he knew all of these children, including Ishmael, Keturah's children, they are going to be a trouble to my son. Because Isaac was the promised son, and all other children came unwanted. He did not plan for those children. And sometimes some people get a child without not thinking about, and some people abort those children because they don't want it. They are unwanted children. But somehow they kept the children. And now there are so many children and so many grandchildren. Abraham is thinking, if I'm alive, I want these children to go away from Isaac. I don't want those children fighting. Because once the father dies, then all the children will fight for the rights. And they want to divide all the property equally. But nowadays, we have a will. You can write a will, you can make a CD or DVD, and after you died, they will not fight. Even though they fight, whatever the mother and father said, it will stand. But in those days, they might be overpowering Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old and no children. He just got married. We will be learning Isaac also was almost 60 years old and no children. Can you imagine Ishmael have 12 children? Keturah has 6 children and they have 11 grandchildren. And still Isaac is 60 years old and no children. Let's go a little bit further. Verse 7.
And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 175 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people.
Now Abraham lived 175 years. Do you know when God called Abraham, he was 75 years old. God gave him 100 more years. So 175 years he lived. You can see he had children and grandchildren. He did not get sick or disease. He simply says he gave up the ghost. 175 years old. No sickness, no disease, no problem. He thought, now I'm ready to go. And he just may be sleeping and say, Lord, I want to come, here I come. And he gave up the ghost. Here is saying in this chapter, verse 8, died in a good old age. It's already understood. And then he says, old man. And again says, full of years. So see, in the one verse, we could understand that he died in old age. That's enough. But he says, he gave up his ghost, he died in a good old age, an old man, and full of the years. So this man was a blessed man. Even though he got this many children, this many grandchildren, God gave him a long, long life. So he was able to see his children and his grandchildren, and he was concerned about his only son Isaac, who was the obedient son. He did not want his children to giving him problem. Before he died, he sent them away. And now see verse 9.
And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife.
Now here is saying, when Abraham died, somehow Ishmael was not too far. So the news went to Ishmael, and Ishmael came, and Isaac and Ishmael, even though they were separated from the long time ago, they had no bitterness. When the father died, both they came together, and they buried their father. Now this is a very important news for Muslims. Today's Muslims, they do not worship the Abraham's God. Today's Muslims, they are worshiping a different God. And they try to tell you our God and Jewish God and Christian God is the same God. It's not. There is a one man, a Jewish man went to Iran and married an Iranian girl, came to America, and somebody was asking him, why you're a Jewish man and married a Muslim girl? He said, oh, Muslim God, Jewish God, and a Christian God is the same God. It's not. Ishmael was worshiping Jehovah God. That's Abraham's God. And so we have to teach these people Look at the Ishmael. Ishmael was not fighting with Isaac. Ishmael, even though he was the first son of Abraham, Ishmael was not fighting with Isaac at the time when Abraham was alive. And when even he died, he came to bury Abraham. So we see the unity between these two brothers. We did not see any time Isaac and Ishmael, they were fighting. Ishmael and Isaac, they were worshiping the same God. But all other Keturah's children, we don't see them coming for Abraham's burial. I think they were far away and nobody even gave them the news that your father is dead. Where they buried him, Abraham already purchased the land, buried his wife, and the same burial ground Abraham was buried. Verse 11.
And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairoi. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, and Kedar, and Adbeel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Masa, Hadar, and Tema, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names, by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations.
Now see here, Ishmael's children, 12, according to their nations and their genealogy. Now you can see these are not ordinary people. They are all princes. That means they are the kings. They established a kingdom and they have their own kingdoms and different cities, and they were already ruling. Israeli people did not have any king. We will be learning after a long, long time, Israeli people asked the king. But Muslim people, Ishmaeli people, they had already not one king, 12 kings. And they were already ruling in those areas. And so here we see Ishmael was flourishing and Keturah's children, they were flourishing. And here we see Isaac. Isaac is still struggling to have one child. Let's read verse 17.
And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people.
Now here we see even the Ishmael. We do not see any sickness and any disease in him. And he also died in an old age. Why? Because he is the son of Abraham, God's blessing was still on Ishmael. And so, a point I'm making, if you are the children of God, you don't have to suffer with the sickness and disease. This is Old Testament, but we are living in New Testament. In the New Testament, when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, the word of God says, with his stripes, we are healed. Why can we believe that Jesus Christ took our sickness, disease, sorrow, pain on the cross, even the death penalty, and with his stripes we are healed? We have to receive it by faith. All these old people, they believe in Jehovah God, they believe in Abraham's God, and they died without sickness and disease. Why can we live a life without sickness and disease? It is possible. I'm a living witness. I'm living without sickness and disease, without taking any medicine. Why? I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for my sickness, disease, and my sin. And so I don't need any other God. I don't need any other doctor. My doctor is Jesus Christ. Okay, let's read verse 18.
And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is, before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan-Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived.
Now see here, Abraham, when he was 75 years old, God called him. And he didn't have children. When he was 90 years old, his wife says, why don't you go with the Hagar and you will have a son. So when he was 90 years old, he got a son. He did not pray to God. God even promised him, I'm going to give you children like a dust up the ground. God promised him, but Abraham never prayed to God to have children. When Sarah said, go with my servant Hagar, he got married. All of a sudden, he got a one son. After that, no children. Hagar was a young lady, no children. And so here, Isaac's 20 years, he was waiting, no children. He was not jealous. In his prayer, we don't know what he said, but he didn't say, Lord, Ishmael, you give 12 children. And my father married another lady and she got so many children. Why are you not giving me children? Some people, sometimes they say, why these heathen flourish? They have so many children. They have so much money. They have so much wealth. And why Christian people suffer? You know what? The word of God says, what the righteous man little he has, that is more than any wicked has. Because God has blessed us. The point I'm making, Isaac was not jealous. Why other people are flourishing? David one time said, Lord, when he says, I saw the wicked man flourishing like a green bay tree. When I came back, I could not find even roots. The point I'm making, the all rich people and all the wealthy people, they are living in this world, but they are not happy. Their life is miserable. But the Christian people, the born-again children, even though they don't have a job, they are not worried. They will have good night's sleep. They don't have to worry. The rich people, they have to take some kind of pills to go to bed, and still they are not sleeping. And sometimes they get so many problems when you are not having a sleep, and they give more and more medicine, and that medicine makes you to kill yourself. And they kill themselves because they cannot live happy life. And so many billionaires and millionaires, their life, you see, their life is miserable. But thank God, we see Isaac. Isaac, when he got married, 20 years passed and no children. So he did not say, you know what, Rebecca, you are a beautiful girl and I love you. But why can't you do the same thing like my father did? Some your servants or another beautiful young girl, so we will have children. But they had the example. Ishmael was born, there was a war in the house. And they had to tell the boy, get out of my house. Isaac was a little bit smarter. Some people learn from other people's mistakes. And some people do not learn from other people's mistake. They want to have their own mistake to learn, and sometimes they don't learn. They can make 7 mistakes and still not learn it. But Isaac learned from his father's mistake. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pray to my God, and God will give me the son or child. And he prayed, and the word of God said, as soon as he prayed, his wife became pregnant. Okay, verse 22.
And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord.
Now she is saying, I don't know, she blamed her husband. You prayed and I'm pregnant now. And now see what you did. Now I have so much big belly. Nobody has like this, because this is the first twin we see in the Bible. And so now she has two babies, and she's these children fighting in the womb from the beginning. And so she has a war going on in her stomach. She's saying, Maybe she complained to her husband, we don't know, but she's going direct to God. She's not saying, that's your fault, you made me pregnant, now I'm suffering, and things like that. She went to God, said, God, you gave me the children, and why this trouble in my stomach? You tell me, what's happening? And so our God is a prayer answering God. When you have trouble, go to God. Let's read verse 23.
And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb.
When she went to God and said, Lord, what this is trouble in my stomach? He said, you have two nations. She might be thinking, what's happening? Not only two babies, two nations. And he told her from the beginning, the younger one will be stronger than the older one. And the younger one will be more respected than the older one. So she got the message, the younger son is going to be older son. He's going to be stronger than him, means the older one will be slave to him. She gave the birth, and the word of God says they were two boys in her wombs. Verse 25.
And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau.
Now the first comes with a lots of hair. I never saw any child in the birth time this many hairs, and that also the color is red, and so many hairs. So they said, this is Esau as a hairy man. Verse 26.
And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them.
The first son is Esau, and he was born first, but the younger one was holding his heel. He said, hey, let me go first. I want to be first, but he came anyhow, but he was catching his heel, so they name him heel catcher, means Jacob. And so this is the way they were born, and the word of God says when these two boys were born, Isaac was almost 60 years old. Okay, verse 27.
And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents.
Now see, when you see the preachers, when they preach, they make Jacob as a bad person, a cheater, deceiver, and a very bad person. That's what they picture the Jacob. But I do not picture Jacob as a bad person, because here he's saying, the older one is a hunter. He goes and hunts. Now, when you go and hunt, means you have to kill the animal. You have to kill the animal, so you have to be some kind of cruel heart. But here, a Jacob, he is not a hunter. He is living in a tent. And he is a plain man. He says he was a plain man, means he was not a fancy person. He was not a crooked person. He was not a deceiver. And he was living in the tent, means he was not saying, let's a bigger building or make a tower or my name. You remember in the beginning we learned Cain's son bought a tower and made his name. But here, Jacob is a humble man living in a tent. He doesn't have a desire to be famous or make a name or anything. And a farmer or taking care of his sheep and goats. He's not killing them, but the killer is his brother. Okay, let's read verse 28.
And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob.
Now here we see, this should not be in our family. There are people, they love one child more than another. He says, this is mommy's boy. This is daddy's girl. And that's what the problem happens in the family. No one should say, this is daddy's girl, or this is a daddy's or mommy's boy. And many families, they are troubled because of this. And the brothers and sisters, they have war in the family because mother and father, they are partial. Here, this father is partial. And the word of God says, why he loved? Because the older one goes for hunting. Not only going for hunting, he comes and cooks a very delicious food. Now, he was already married. I don't know he was cooking or his wives were cooking. But they were making delicious food and they give it to the daddy. Daddy is happy because he is bringing food and giving to me, and he is not giving care to his younger son. But when the mother sees the father is prejudiced, he doesn't love my younger son, so she starts loving the younger child more than the father. And why? I don't think she ever told her husband Isaac what God told her. God already told her, your younger child will be older, he will be the boss, other one will be slave, don't you worry. And so, even though your husband loves the bigger one, I love the Jacob. I also hate Esau. Time will come. You just take care of your son Jacob. And so she was taking care of Jacob. I believe she told the story to Jacob. Son, don't worry your father hates you. Don't worry he doesn't love you. But let me tell you, God loves you. God will give you much more blessing than your brother Esau. And he might have said, mommy, my father loves Esau, and he's going to give all the property to him because he's an old brother. She might have said, no. One of these days, you will be the older, and he will be the younger. He says, how come? How is it going to happen? I don't know. God is going to fix it. So it stuck in his mind that I am going to be someday older brother and Isaac will be younger brother. And this was in his mind because mommy already told him. When your children are young, that's the time you train them, teach them, and it stays in their mind. The word of God says, train up your child the way he should go. And even though they became old, they will not depart from the truth. They will come back. And so she was training the child. Don't worry. You're going to be older. You're going to be famous. You're going to be a boss. Esau is going to be your servant. And he was dwelling on that thing. How is going to happen? Now see, this is verse 29. See what's happening.
And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint.
Can you imagine? Now Jacob is cooking simple food. He did not take any baby goat and kill it and make a delicious food. Oh, my brother is going and hunting a deer meat. Let me get a baby goat and let me kill and let me cook and let me have a delicious food. He said, well, I don't want to kill my animals. I want to keep them for milk and things like that. I'm going to get the lentil. Just the red lentil, and he made the lentil soup. Maybe he put some spices, and he smells good. And so the lentil food, very ordinary food he made. If you remember, when Daniel and all of his friends were taken to the Babylon, and the king starts saying, give these people good food, means meat and wine and this and that. He said, no, we don't want those kind of things. Give us lentil, vegetable. And they said, oh, we give you only 10 days. Within 10 days, if your body is not functioning properly, if you don't look good, then you have to eat our food. They said, okay. And within 10 days, when they came to inspect these people, and much more smarter than other people and healthy. And so the point I'm making, this Jacob, somehow he likes vegetable, he likes lentil, and he made the lentil curry or lentil soup, and he was cooking. He had no idea that somebody is going to give his birthright for this lentil curry. But this is God's doing, that this man goes for hunting. So Esau goes for hunting, and if anybody went for hunting, they would know. Even though somebody goes for fishing, they don't go and just get the fish right away. Hours and hours, if you have that, what you call fishing hook, they sit there hours and hours. We go for hunting, you have to look for the right timing to hunt. So this man, he's very accurate hunter and he has very good talent. But that day, he did not get anything. And he got tired. Maybe it was a sunny day. Maybe he almost got a stroke or start fainting. He would have gone to home, his house. But when he's coming, he smells some aroma. Let me go to my brother. What's cooking? And he saw the red lentil curry. And he was attracted to that red color. That's why you see in restaurant, when they cook, in house you cook the same food. But the restaurant, they decorate. I decorate your plate so it looks like appetizing. And the people go to restaurant to buy food. In our language, it said, ghar ki murgi dal barabar. That means you can cook the chicken in the house, very delicious, but that tasted like a lentil. Outside food is much tastier. You go to a restaurant and they might be cooking a dog food and putting there and dim lights, and you don't know. Because dim lights, you are already drunk, and they give you anything and you eat. You have no taste, and if you have a girlfriend sitting there, you may not eat that food and just go and spend the money and come home. Jacob didn't have any idea that my brother is coming and eating my lentil food. And so he comes, and the word of God says he came from the field and he was faint. Means all was so much weak and he felt like he's dying. Okay, see what happens. Verse 30.
And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom.
See what he's trying to say? He saw that food, and he's saying to Jacob, "You know that red stuff? I want some of that, because I am dying. I'm fainting. Give me that red stuff." So the red is, they call Edom. He already was red and he's attracted to the red stuff, so his name is Edom. So he wants that food. Now hear what the Jacob is saying, verse 31.
And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright."
Now he got the opportunity. He says, "Brother, you want the lentil curry, lentil food, I'll give it to you. And you are already dying. So I want to save your life. Could you give me your birthright? From today onwards, I will be the big brother. You will be the small brother. And this you have to make a contract and sign it and give it to me. And so from today onwards, I will be the big brother and you will be the younger brother. And if my father dies, I'm going to tell him, I'm older brother, give me everything, all you have. Sign it or my name, because Esau sold his birthright to me." He's already figured it out. And so he might be telling him these things. He did not cheat him. He told him, "This is the business. You want to live? You want to have food? Now give me your birthright." See what the Esau is saying. Verse 32.
And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?"
Now he's thinking, "I am dying. What is use of my birthright if I die today? My birthright goes with me. So I'm going to make a business. I'm going to give my birthright. I'll take the food and I'll live. How foolish it sounds. Did you find anywhere in the world that if you skip a one meal, you die? No. People fast 40 days and they don't die. You don't eat 3 days, you don't die. But some people have craving for certain things and they cannot live without it. If you don't smoke right time, you get crazy. So you have that smoking. And that's the way addiction is all about. Certain time you have certain things. That's the selfish fleshly desire. I asked somebody, do you love Jesus? Yes. Okay, then I'm going to give one test. Do you smoke? Yes. Can you give up cigarette for Jesus? No. Do you love cigarette more than Jesus? Yes. And those are the people when they're sick or afflicted, oh Lord, I'll give up my cigarette, I'll give up my everything, heal me now. When they get healed, I was just joking. I didn't want to give up cigarette. I was just joking. So what I'm trying to say, these are the people called Esau. Living for the flesh. Living for the one time of meal. And do not have any clue. That one time meal I eat, I am doomed for life. And that's what they do. Just like one girl is a virgin for 20 years. And one day she misses and have fun for one day. She lost all her virginity. So this is what it is. You have to have self-control. You cannot die without food. Jesus Christ says, man shall not live by bread alone. Bread alone, you can keep on eating bread and you will die. But if you live by the word of God, you will live for eternity. He would have prayed, would have said, hey, daddy, I went for bringing some kind of deer for you. I didn't get it today. Could you please pray? I feel like fainting. Pray for me. Mommy, pray for me. Jacob, pray for me. No. No prayer. No asking God help. I want food. And I want right now. Could you give me a birthright? Who cares? I'm dying. This birthright is no good for me. I'm going to eat now and die. Do you remember that? Elisha goes to one town. And the old lady getting some stick together and to make a bread. And he says, hey lady, could you give me a glass of water? She said, okay. By the way, bring me one bread also. She said, I have a little bit flour and a little bit oil. I have my son. We are going to eat that food and we are going to die. He said, no, 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 no. You're not going to die. If you give me the first cake or bread, this is the selfish man ever I saw in my life. He wants my son to die, I die, and he wants to eat first. But she trusted in him. If the man of God is saying, I'm going to trust. And she made the pancake, gave it to him, and then the man of God ate. And she made it for her son and herself. And the word of God says, until the famine was there, they had enough food, not only for her, she also gave it to her relatives also. So the point I'm making, some people are narrow-minded. They're thinking, tomorrow never comes, so everything I wanted now. And that's what the fast food is. You cannot wait. In my mother used to say, when she cooked, we will wait. And when she gives, we start eating. She said, can't you wait until the food is cold? You waited until now, but when I give the food, you eat very hard food. In America, you have fork. You don't feel. But in India, they didn't have the forks in our timing. Can't you wait a little bit until the cools down? You waited until I cooked. So the point I'm making, we can wait until food is cooking, but when it's in your plate, you cannot wait. That's what the Asa was. That food looks good to me, smells good, give it to me right now. Can you give me a birthright? Go ahead, take my birthright. I can sign it right now. I'm dying. What is good for my birthright? And so let's read verse 33.
And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob.
Now Jacob didn't take a word. He says, you have to promise me. Means, if those days, if they have writing tablets, they say, okay, write it down here. You promise me, today you are giving your birthright to me. Today I'll be Esau, you'll be Jacob. Or today you'll be younger brother, I'll be older brother. Is it okay with you? Okay. Now this man, if he waited this long and waited argument and everything, would have said, don't want your food. Give me a glass of water. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to my house and make something. But I'm not giving my birthright. But his mind was set. I want to eat no matter what. And he wrote it down and gave it to his younger brother Jacob. Verse 34.
Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright.
What the word of God said? Thus Esau despised his birthright. He was not ordinarily giving. He said, who cares? I despise my birthright. I do not want to be older brother. I'd be happy to be younger brother and live longer. I'm dying. But Jacob was very kind to him. As soon as he wrote, you want lentil? Not only lentil, I'm going to give bread also. So he gave the lentil soup and the bread, and he was satisfied. And now he said, who cares? He said, brother, remember, I am older now. You're younger. Who cares? I despise my birthright. And that's the way he gave it away. The worldly people, they are looking for the worldly blessing. They are looking into this world. But we are looking a little bit further. Eternal life. We are not going to enjoy our flesh. Flesh and the spirit always have war. So we have to have victory over the flesh. And somebody saying, I am struggling. I don't know how to get victory over the flesh. It's very simple. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what we get? We get the nature of God. We get the power of God. We get the wisdom of God. And we have victory over the enemy. The word of God says, please read. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Who is in the world? The devil. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, is the greater than the devil. Once the greater one lives in you, then you can defeat the devil. That's why I'm telling people, if you are struggling for smoking and drinking and marijuana and drug and all of these things, call upon Jesus. And say, Jesus, come into my life. Once Jesus comes, he brings his Father. Means Father and Son lives in you. They are greater than any devil in the world. And then you call upon the Holy Spirit. And then you get the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God, start living in you. You are the powerhouse. No enemy can come closer to you. You are just like a burning torch. When I got saved, and all the things which were fleshly things, I gave it up. Smoking, drinking, movies, and tea, and coffee, all of these things, Pepsi and Coke, everything I gave it away. And I never thought one time why I gave up those things. St. Paul says some of the things are good, but I found out those are like a trash or dunk. Once I have Jesus Christ, I'm not craving for anything. When I was not saved, when I come from the work, if my mother is not having food, I will be so mad. But when I got saved and I came here, I was tired and weary. And here the young boy, 12 years old, looking at my food. I didn't even start. He started looking at my plate. I says, come here. Did you eat anything? He said, no, I'm starving. I gave my plate to him and I say, eat. He ate and left. My mom says, do you know that's the only food I had? I don't have anything else. I said, Mom, don't worry. I can live without food one day. My mom gave the food for the lunch. And I'm sitting there and one beggar comes and looking at my food. I said, sir, are you hungry? He said, yes. I gave my food away. I come home. I'm so hungry. My mother says, what are you doing? I gave 2-3 people's food, this much food. When you come home, you're still hungry. I didn't tell her I'm giving to beggar. Here God did a miracle. There was one girl was working with me. She was a banker's daughter. And she was a lawyer. She said, what kind of food your mom gives to you? I said, well, some chapati and some kind of dry curry. She said, no, you cannot eat that. I'm going to tell my mom. And my mom will give you a tiffin. Now she is bringing tiffin for her. Hot rice, curry, meat, this, that, this many things. And the servant brings, keeping in the big thermos. And 2 identical boxes giving for me and for her. So I start thanking God. I gave my food to the beggar, gave my food to the young child. Now I'm getting the rich man's food. The point I'm making, our God is a good God. He supplies all our needs. Don't keep your eyes on the world. Read the 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, and we are going to pray. Please read.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
See, if you do the will of God, you will live forever. If you go after the world, smoking, drinking, gambling, or any other sinful activities, they are going to vanish away and they are going to be destroyed and you are going to be destroyed with them. But if you do the will of God, you will live for eternity. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling. And we are going to follow you. We are going to love you. We are going to follow you. Lord Jesus, give us grace. And let us grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. And let our life shine for the glory of God. Because we know that you are coming very soon. The time is very short. We want to live for you and for your glory. Give us grace to live a clean and holy life for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen and amen. Please be seated.